We're going to go right into this next segment here, talking about people who depend too much on bond portfolios to protect yourself during market corrections. What do you think about that, Kurt?
Yeah, if you go back to the Jimmy Carter inflation era, which many people remember who were adults back at that time, we had enormous inflation rates, double digit. We had bank CDs paying 16%, which a lot of people go, wow, if that day ever came back again, right? But, you know, what people don't understand is that banks were paying good interest rates back then, but inflation was even higher than that. So you were still falling behind. But what basically and in general has happened from the early 1980s to present is that we've been seeing nothing but falling interest rates. So the common investor, the current investors nowadays, they've been using that bond portfolio or that mix, that 60-40 mix or 70-30 mix or whatever. And many times their advisor would say, well, listen, you know, when the market gets scary, we'll move you more into bonds. And when the market looks exciting, we'll move you more into stocks. The problem is that if interest rates start going up, bonds have an inverse relationship to that. So therefore, especially bond mutual funds, you have a situation where when rates start going up, bond mutual funds are going to start losing a considerable amount of their value. And so that bond situation is not going to be the safe haven that people have gotten used to over the past years, past decades, if I can say it that way. And so that kind of lends back to what we said in the prior segment, which is, you know, you might want to start looking at some alternatives to just a bond portfolio to protect your downside. And that's where I brought in the idea of some forms of annuities, the safer annuities being fixed interest or fixed indexed annuities, as a possible bond replacement. And what I like about those too is that every year they can have a guaranteed fixed rate that can adjust as interest rates go up. So therefore, your investment doesn't necessarily become stale as interest rates go up, but rather it can change with that to some degree.
Yeah, I agree. I think you get the best of both worlds to some degree with the fixed indexed annuity. They're really a proxy for bonds because the insurance company generally takes your money and buys bonds anyway, and that's kind of what makes the whole financial program work there. But instead of when interest rates go up, your annuity will probably go up as well. You're not guaranteed that, but they generally will, rather than the almost certain outcome that your bond portfolio would go down. So you get a portion of the gain of the bond when you buy the annuity, but you get none of the risk. That's on the insurance company. So I think that's a good thing. And then the other thing to remember is in the bad years, 2008, the bond market is a general investment class lost about 19%. So even though you were diversified and you were depending on that bond portfolio to keep you out of the drink there, it didn't really do its job. You might not have to sell it, and then you didn't realize that loss, but the paper loss was there. So.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if somebody has a bond with a corporate bond or something where it has a maturity date in 3 years or something like that, as long as they hold it to maturity and the company's stable, then they're going to get their principal back. But that's why I say the biggest concern I have is with bond mutual funds. And certainly any long-term bonds, longer than maybe a few years, I think people are going to be very disappointed in what happens to those over the coming years as interest rates most definitely probably will start trending up.
Okay, and you know, the next thing I want to talk about is the worries that people have out there, and there's several of them I want to go over. The first one, the first worry or concern that we hear a lot about is a fear due to being invested in very risky positions and more risky positions than, say, someone would like to be.
And, you know, Ian, that's a great thing that you bring up there, and the reason I say that is what I'm starting to notice and certainly read in a lot of different industry publications and what have you is that a number of people who normally would not put so much money in the stock market are now going into the stock market looking after some form of return. In the past, they were used to just having their CDs or their bank accounts be their stable money, but now they just can't make it any longer on the small rates of return that they're getting in the bank, and so they're starting to take more risk. And that concerns me quite a bit because of the fact that I think with the printing of money that Washington's been doing, I think with the debt and deficit that we run as a country on a regular basis, that there is that potential out there for some form of correction down the road. I'm certainly not calling out for a doomsday thing by any means, but some form of correction that if people start taking too much of their safe positions and moving into Wall Street seeking greater returns, they could put themselves in a very precarious and a scary position. So I encourage people to stay the course, but instead maybe see Dick or come into Dick's office and sit down and talk about, hey, what are these other things, the index annuities and some of the alternative investments that are out there?
I agree completely. I'm starting to get a little bit of deja vu here with 2008. I'll admit I wasn't smart enough to think of this, but I had a client that came in early 08 and was very worried about the market. She thought it was in a bubble. She was nearing retirement, and she said something very simple to me. She says, "Dick, I think this market is running on pixie dust." And that stuck in my mind, and about 3 months later, we moved a very good portion of her simplified employment pension, her SEP, into a fixed indexed annuity, and she has done wonderfully ever since. So I'm like you, Kurt. I'm not really getting ready to call that there's a big problem here imminently looming, but I think at some point the market is probably running on pixie dust.
Yep.
I love that term. Can I steal that?
I'll just need 1,000 copies of your book.
I think it's running on magic right now, but that's all right. Yeah. Well, let's talk another worry that people seem to have out there a lot is a lot of worry people have is they don't really understand their own investments. They don't understand their strategy and how they've got it set up.
Another great point. And, really, what that comes down to is sometimes what I find is that in the financial industry like Dick and I are in, when you're in the industry on a daily basis, sometimes an advisor's idea of risk and the client's idea of risk can be in two different levels. The client might think they're talking about the same level of risk, but it could be two different levels. And so it's really important that you make sure you have an advisor who can really understand your situation and what your needs are, so that they're not just selling investments to you, which is unfortunately what has happened to our industry, is there's too many people who are out there just selling investments. And when you work with a certified wealth strategist and certified financial planner like Dick, you're going to get somebody who's going to look at your needs and then recommend investments that will match those needs, and you can be sure are going to be on the right level from a risk standpoint and not just be selling you something that happens to be the hot product of the month, so to speak.
I agree. I think it's important when you're talking about risk for people to understand the concept of a risk-adjusted return. Let me delve into that for a minute. If you're making 5%, but you could lose 5%, that's about a dollar per dollar. But if you're making 5% and you could lose 20, you're only getting 25% of the risk. You're risking $4 to make $1. So I think it's really important as you are looking at your investments, and an essential part of understanding what you're invested in is to understand the risk-adjusted return.
Yeah, excellent point, Dick.
You know, and one of the last things we want to talk about here, we're down to about 3 minutes in the show here. You're paying too much in taxes and you don't even realize it because you're using a tax preparer instead of a tax advisor. This seems to be an issue right now quite a bit out there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, in my experience, what I've found is that many people go to their tax preparer and they think that the tax preparer is going to give them a bunch of strategies on how to reduce their income taxes. What I find instead, and there's certainly no cut to tax preparers in any way, shape, or form, but they will tell you that their job is to prepare your tax return within the constraints of the law. They might come up and say, hey, if you put $5,000 or $6,000 in your IRA, you can get a deduction, et cetera. But a true financial advisor, a true financial coach, like Dick and myself, let's say, what we're doing is we're helping people think of strategies that, in addition to their investments, we're trying to identify ways to reduce their taxes on their income at the same time. Because if you can do that, your financial portfolio will last longer because you don't have to pull out 100% to get 75% of the money if you have some good strategies along the way.
I think that's a great, great point. And here's something I think I would advise everyone listening to the show that has a financial advisor. When you go in to see that person at least once a year, hopefully, I would advise you to bring the last couple of tax returns with you. If they haven't asked, they need to see that. They can probably look at your tax returns, and it will begin to give them some ideas on how they can help you. And I just think that it'll prompt the whole discussion, and it'll make it easier for you.
Well, there you go. And to get a copy of his book, you go to retireelifeline.com. That's retireelifeline.com. We've been talking to Kurt Whipple, certified wealth strategist and certified estate planner and CEO of C. Curtis Financial Group. And he wrote the book, Retiree Lifeline, How to Get Government Out of Your Pocket. I love that. It's always good when you can do that. And you can also find out more about him at ccurtisfinancial.com. Thank you, Curtis, for being on the show with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. My pleasure. Have a great Sunday.